Welcome back, everybody. This is another episode of the Cinema Wave podcast. Today, we are covering Kinds of Kindness by Yorgos Lanthimos. But before we get started, be sure to subscribe below to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram at Cinema Wave Media and at underscore Culture Wave Media. We've got a bunch of new stuff coming out and a lot of stuff we're really excited about, including this review. So stay tuned and stay up to date with what we are pumping out. But today, I'm here with two hosts covering the new film by Yorgos Lanthimos. And I'm here with Liz Seiko.
Hello, everybody.
And Vinny Albano.
Hello, hello.
How are we doing, guys? So this is kind of a lot, this movie. But
it's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we were talking a lot off screen. This is, you know, a very quick follow-up for Yorgos right after Poor Things. Very different from Poor Things. You kind of see him return a little bit to his character pieces, like The Lobster. I mean, Poor Things is a character piece, but it's a very like grounded but complex like route that the story takes in so many ways. And yeah, so Liz, do you have any like first thoughts on the film before we go into spoilers at all? And what was your understanding of the film?
My understanding. I don't know if I have an understanding of the film necessarily. There's a part of me that still doesn't know what to say like about this film, except this film really came off as a piece of art that Yorgos probably has been itching to cover or itching to dive into subject matter wise. It's definitely an art house film for me. It's not necessarily a film for everybody, probably. The one thing that I am interested to talk to you guys about is kind of the overall theme. For me, Yorgos's films, he always has some sort of theme or topic that he's trying to investigate or uncover, and I don't know if this film has a certain topic that he covers, but with that being said, it's definitely not a predictable film. Like didn't know what to expect. I didn't really know what I was going into. I also did not watch the trailer before going into this. So I really was going in blind. I was going in solely based off the description of the film, which is vague. Yeah. It's literally, okay, the description for anybody that wants to hear it, it's a man seeks to break free from his predetermined path. A cop questions his wife's demeanor after her return from a supposed drowning. And a woman searches for an extraordinary individual prophesied to become a renowned spiritual guide.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot. So right off the bat, you're like, okay, how do all three of these like come together? And I don't know if they did. You guys might have different points on that. But I enjoyed this film. It's not one of my favorite of his just because I think he could have connected the three main stories a little bit more. But it's definitely a Yorgos film. Strong and true.
Yeah.
Vinny, what are your thoughts?
I agree almost 100% there. I feel that for me, I kind of took away... there's still so much more to take away. I want to see the film again. I think there was a lot to digest here, particularly though, like the things I did pick up on, characters of control. There's a ongoing theme of control and belief, you know, people who are so indoctrinated into a certain belief that they'll go to extremes for it. So I think that the three stories connect in those very like parallel techniques of storytelling. I did really enjoy the performances at play here. I enjoyed the filmmaking. However, I will say out of the films I've seen from Yorgos, this is probably, I haven't seen his entire filmography, but this is probably the least connected I've felt with a Yorgos film thus far.
I think too, like going off of what you're saying, I felt like the one through line theme was like blind devotion or like blind loyalty. Like the first one, I mean, I don't want to get too into spoilers, but you know, it kind of
we can
is
get into spoilers.
Sure.
I feel like if you're watching it,
you know, you're here to understand it. Yeah, as long as we are,
we got to break down this film somehow. Yeah. So like, we got to talk about what happened in it.
True.
So let's hear it, Zach. Okay. What do we think?
Well, so the first one is, by the way, I did like having the three stories. I thought that was kind of cool. Runtime we'll get into though.
Oh,
yeah,
that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, so I want to talk about that too because I have the same sentiment. But so the first one is the boss. You know, Jesse Plemons is trying to really do almost anything for this guy to keep his job, and like, you know, just doing very obscene things at points. The second one is Jesse as the cop forcing Emma to prove herself in extreme ways, like including severing her limbs and stuff. And what is she willing to do for like the relationship and that kind of thing. And then the last one is like, it felt like a cult, and they were like, in the reading too, it's like they're following this idea of a prophecy and they didn't even know if it was true. And it was very blind, like, undying loyalty for something they didn't even know was real. And when they found it, it was like chaos just began to happen. And then there's like that whole like sidebar with Emma and her husband in the last one, and that was kind of interesting. So like there are bits of that, like Vinny, like there's those little elements of character parts that Yorgos includes in all of his narratives. Like, they have those side backstories of people, like even the boss in the beginning. I'm like, what does the boss do? Like, Willem is like so sideways in his morals and that kind of thing. And, you know, even with Jesse, I was like, what made him that screwed up? But we don't have to know that necessarily. And he does a very well, like, puppeteer act of manipulating his characters with his story. So I liked a lot of that. And the blind devotion was kind of like part of it, I felt. But like, what do you think about the film being split into three parts and then your runtime? Like, there were parts of the film I did feel like dragged.
It should have been cut. Honestly, 2 hours, almost 3 hours. It's hard. I started getting antsy at a certain point because I was kind of being like, okay, how are these three going to wrap up, or how are these three going to connect in the end? I really liked that they did three different stories. I just really wish that somehow in the last like 4 minutes, they were somehow connected, like the three different worlds or the three different stories. And whether that's like actually connected of like lives being parallel or like some characters overlapping, or just we finally realize like what is Yorgos trying to say from these like brutal events that happened. So I liked that he did three different stories. I would have loved it more if he just connected them a bit more. I was shocked though when the first like what's it called?
The title card.
Yeah, when they first started going, I was like, what's happening? We've only been here for like 35 minutes. Yeah, I'm like, what is going on right now? And then when it went into a whole nother thing, I was like, oh, okay. I was like, I see what he's doing here. I'm vibing with this. Let's go.
Yeah.
But they could have picked up the pace a little bit. I feel like there were some moments that just dragged a little bit, or it just wasn't clear what the motive of showing that like sequence was. And I feel like if it isn't continuing the story, like why tell it or like why show that moment? Yeah, those are my first thoughts on like the time and the three different storylines.
I agree with that. I think for me, it's almost hard to identify where like I was getting antsy and where I felt the time, because I felt the time. Like I believe it's on IMDb, I believe it says it's 2 hours and like 40 minutes, but it felt closer to 3 hours.
Yeah,
and I don't know if it's the element of having three different stories. It might be a double-edged sword, because although the three different stories kinds of cuts the pacing up in a digestible manner, it might also be the fact that it's so like, you know, gas break that really made me feel that runtime. But yeah, I agree. A little bit of cutting here and there, I think, would have been necessary. Yeah, but I do appreciate the slower moments too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it kind of went back a little bit with the lobster of like, he creates this like tension with his pacing and that kind of thing. So in the second story specifically, I felt the runtime dragging a little bit because in those like awkward or uncomfortable conversations, it breathes a lot in the edit, and mm-hmm. they're kind of just sitting there in their subtlety in their performance, and they're either not saying much, or they're they're doing these expressions and you can see them thinking about like their process of what they're going to say next, which does feel natural. However, it does add a lot of fat in the edit, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily. I think it's everybody's different in their preference, but like it's effective for sure. I just felt that because you had three different stories, it was going to be a long film anyways. Yeah. So it probably could have been tightened up a little bit. Narratively, I don't think there was like, I'm trying to think if there was any bits that I would like cut completely. I didn't really like, it's hard to tell because there's three different stories, so I'm trying to wrap my head around each of them.
No, I know. It's hard.
Yeah.
I think, now that you mention it, Vinny, I think that it does have to do with it just being three completely different stories because, so at the point of a typical film, that's 2 hours, 45 minutes. At that 2 hour mark is starting to be where the climax is taking off and where all the events are starting to unfold and you feel the pressure building. But at 2 hours was probably when we were getting into the third act, which it's like a whole new storytelling and they have to go slow because you have to learn who each character is and what they're like, what the situation is. So at the moment that the gas should be going, it was like, nope, reset. Let's redo all this. Mm. And I didn't hate it. I was just more, it's definitely not for a casual movie viewer. I feel like a lot of people would be just like, oh God, like I don't want to see another new story. I want to see what happened with the other ones. Mm-hmm. But I am curious to hear which story did you guys find more interesting or that you preferred?
Zach, I want to hear your thoughts first.
I thought I really liked the first one, but the second one I was like really enjoying. I just think it was a little too long because I felt like the first one it was cool. It was like a short story and it wrapped up. So then I assumed the rest of the movie would be like that. Like it would be developed enough, but it would wrap up a little quicker. And the second one just dragged a little bit, but I liked the characters a little. I love Jesse as the cop in the second one. He was just so demented and like he was a loose cannon. Like he was so unpredictable. Literally. Yeah. So that was like some of my favorite to watch. But then I also loved Willem as the boss in the beginning. He's getting back to his Norman Osborn, you know? And then he's like very like, I wanted to see what Jesse was willing to do to get to that. But then at the same time, like Emma was not as utilized in the first one. Mm-hmm. And I wish that was a little more prevalent. It's tough. I want to say two by a hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about you?
Yeah, for me, I hear a lot of people love the first one. I feel like that's the general consensus I've been hearing from other people who have seen the film.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's in a debate between the second and third. I really enjoyed the third. I love how like wild the third is. I love how disturbing the second is. So it's like in between those. I think we're talking spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think the third for me a hair more just because of, well, I was going to say how much more explosive it is, but story number two is also very explosive. Mm-hmm. But I love how the third ends, where Margaret Qualley's character just goes to the window.
Yeah.
So I think the third takes the cake for me.
Okay. Yeah. What about you?
I think I'm of the majority of like, I liked the first one the most.
Nice.
But I think it has to do with because I was fully invested from the moment that it started. And honestly, I could have watched a whole film just about that world and this random guy that is like controlling people's lives. It's very like dystopian without being dystopian. So I just was invested in that story. But I think it's also because I was sitting down in a movie ready to watch a movie. And that was the first story being told. I think the second one would be my next pick. The third one for me, I enjoyed. I think they just like to sit on like some of the details too much for a third act. Like the amount of times we saw the freaking car like whipping around, I was like, how many times
that's true.
Do we have to watch the car? Like, we get it, she's a maniac driver.
I might be biased because I love Hellcats. I love that. So actually, funny, I want, like, when I'm older, my dream is to have a purple Dodge Challenger.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm in
more of that.
Vinny's like, give me all of it, give me all the car.
Yeah, so might be a little biased there, but
that's funny. Yes. So the third one, I could either way, I think both are like, are all three are incredible stories alone. And I could have totally seen them be like full-fledged films of his that he brought out. But I'm also curious if there was a conversation of like, does Yorgos go off like the film route and do kind of like a mini series of just like these mini horror episodes.
Be crazy, like horror crazy. Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Like something like that. Because that is kind of what I felt a little bit, was like grounded Twilight Zone a little bit. But
I felt The Shining.
Yeah.
I felt
yeah,
very like Shining vibes.
Yeah.
Going, at least in the first one specifically. But yeah, I'd be interested because it felt like just three different episodes.
Yes.
Is really what it was. But yeah.
So there's a lot of like good cast members in this thing too, and they're all like very different in each of them. Emma's pretty different in each of them too. But I feel like if you had to like pick an Oscar nom to come out of this, like maybe one or more, like who would be the front runner you think for the performances of this movie to get a nom?
I'd pick Jesse.
Yeah, I would pick Jesse too.
I'd pick Jesse. Yeah. I just feel like his three characters were so different. Like to go from the turtleneck wearing, like wanting to be controlled male to like a psychotic kind of police officer. And then into like the sandal chill vibes, like cult follower. And he fits all of them. I was never like, I don't really buy it. Every role I was like, no, I see this man, and like I recognize him as this figure of like a character. I think Emma's just an incredible actress, and like she's believable in everything she does. I feel like she put more attention on the third character the most. And I think that her first character was just kind of like, they didn't know what to do with it. And so they were like, let's just put her in some crazy, like, early 2000s apparel.
Yeah.
And, like, make her that girl that's, like, going out to clubs kind of vibe. She was interesting in the second one, but I feel like her whole motive was for the third act.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think?
Yeah.
I 100% agree with that. I think Jesse, for me, like, blew it out of the water in terms of just everything here. I loved Jesse, his performance in every part. I also 100% agree with Emma. I feel like she was very underutilized in the first. And I almost felt like, like, I think she's an incredible actress, and she does a great job in the second and third part. But in the first part, it almost, like, I got this weird vibe that, like, she also kind of didn't know what to do with the character. Like, the scene when she's in the bed after the accident talking to Jesse, it just felt, something felt off there. And not in, like, a way of, like, oh, it needed to be off. In a way that, like, I just wasn't convinced that she was convincing me as an actor, you know.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, Jesse, amazing. Also, I want to shout out, although she had smaller bits throughout, Margaret Qualley's characters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed how she swapped in each of the parts. And while I'm still kind of running about performances, I thought I was a little disappointed that Hunter Schafer was only in one scene.
I agree.
Yeah, it was marketed to be a lot bigger. And I was like, okay. I was very shocked because, and then you wait till the third one and you're like, okay, she's going to be one of the focuses of this. And it wasn't. And then I was like,
she was in one scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It threw me for sure. Like, I was happy with what they did with the third one, but, you know, marketing, putting that into the narrative, it just didn't fit. Like, I don't know. I was expecting a lot more star power from her in the, in the thing, like, for sure. But the narrative, I also am thinking about it too. Like, Jesse's probably my favorite, but I feel like each of the, like, Willem, Emma, and Jesse. Jesse was probably the, like, he had the most story time in each of them, but I feel like each of them also had a strong story. That, like, Willem was very strong in the first one. Jesse was great throughout, but, like, really good in the second one. And then Emma was really good in the third one. Mm-hmm. So it was, like, pretty balanced in a way. Like, Jesse was more prominent, I think, throughout most of the movie, but it was like giving these guys their credibility to really perform and their subtlety. And then Emma is just so off the walls in the third one. Like, she can be like that. That is true. Like, that's another thing I guess I'm thinking about on the spot is like their range is so broad, like in the entire movie. And it's very good. Like, Yorgos is very good at showcasing their abilities. Mm-hmm. So that's what I like.
So I did read something that Yorgos said, I don't remember where I read it or where he said it, but he said that one of the actors plays the same character throughout the film.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to figure it out, and I feel like it can be like one of two choices, I think it's between. Whoa. But I was right. So think about this. I got to find on. Where I read this because I did read it somewhere. Wait.
Wow.
Think about it for a second. Like, who do you think is playing the same character throughout all three?
Maybe Emma? Maybe? Because there's like so many unanswered questions about her past.
But then her character in the first one, which is just like the random girl that's getting brought into it. And then the wife who goes missing.
Oh. Mm-hmm. RMF, right? Because each story is named after RMF, this mysterious man.
Yeah, right.
He shows up in each of the stories.
And so you think Willem?
Well, RMF, the character, right?
The character who gets killed in the first one. But is he in the second one?
The second one was called RMF is Flying. And I forget where he shows up.
Does he? Because he's the one that comes alive at the end, right?
Yeah.
He's the guy that's on the.
Oh, so he gets killed.
So he dies.
So he was probably on the slab because he was killed earlier.
Yes.
Because he was killed in the first one. And then in the third one, he's who she wakes up. But who is he in the second one? Where is he?
Maybe he's.
Is flying?
Is he the one that. I'm trying to really remember. Oh, when Emma Stone's character is being awarded for in the second story for like a job award.
At the conference. Yeah.
He's at the conference.
In the background.
Yeah, or they bring him out on stage or something. I forget. It's been a couple days now.
I thought you were talking about principal cast.
I mean, it could be. That, he just said one of the actors.
That makes sense, though. That seems like the most sense. Because trying to piece their like mental arc together is that's hard.
I mean, I could see Willem's characters, though, connecting. Because think about it. The first and the third one, he's really just like kind of like a weird cult leader-ish in both of them. Mm. And then the middle one, he's just like a random dad that pops in and out and like hates her husband.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see his character kind of being the same. But I didn't even catch that that one guy was in the second one.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that at all. I kept seeing like what the names of the segments were called, yeah. But I was like, okay,
I was waiting like, what for, are we... See, then when that happens in two, I was like, oh, everything's going to connect.
Yes.
And that it was another part. And it didn't connect. So that was probably just like a screw you to the audience a little bit of like, I don't know. He just like does things on his own wavelength. And like, I think there's genuinely all of his films that there's a deeper level that only he will understand. Like he makes things for audiences for sure, but there are parts of it I'm like, I think he made that element for himself, because I'll never fully understand why he included it and why it was so important to highlight, I guess, because even The Lobster, I'm like, rabbit holes on rabbit holes,
totally,
like, of their past and like why they're this animal and like that stuff. So yeah. He has a very complex way of movie making, which is cool.
I have an interpretation on RMF as a character.
Okay.
And I also, this will lead into a question I had for both of you guys. Okay. So the film Kinds of Kindness, right? We're exploring different kinds of kindness. Now, my interpretation of the kindness here is that kindness in a way, in a very broad sense of the term, is to give a positive to someone, right? To please someone in some sort of way, right? Mm-hmm. So you can say that Jesse's character in the first one, committing the act of killing RMF and, you know, getting the job done and then reuniting with Willem's character, is being kind to Willem's character, right?
Yeah.
And then in the second one, it's Emma Stone as the wife who wants to act out of kindness for her husband. So it was like, you know, slicing her liver out of her body and chopping off fingers.
Mm-hmm.
In the third one, we have Emma's character trying to be kind to Margaret Qualley's character. And then I was trying to deliver
like the prophecy to those people. Yeah. So that's a kindness. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But RMF is the anomaly, and if he's the same character throughout the entire thing, he's the anomaly, right? Because in the first story, it's established that he wants to die, and then in the third story, Emma Stone brings him back. So is that kindness if he wanted to die? Or is that the opposite? Is that like almost like a slap in the face? Like, all right, I'm dead now, I can rest. And then all of a sudden he rises from the grave and he looks at her like, what the hell did you do? You know?
Mm, yeah.
I don't know.
That's a good theory too. Cause it's like, I do like that now connection with, you know, RMF is dead, or he wants to die, and in the end he's brought back and he's probably like, why'd you bring me back? But there's like, they don't have to explain a lot of that, so there's oh my gosh, it's so like complex.
I know,
but it's cool.
But and then it makes me think like, okay, so in a weird world, like, is Yorgos connecting the first story and the third story? And since they both are very much like in that culty realm, like, is he trying to say that they connect somehow? But then I feel like the second one is just kind of flailing on its own then in the middle and isn't really connecting as much. Because I totally buy that, like, he died because he wanted to, and then they're bringing him back for like a reason. But I don't know, the second one, it's like just having him stand on the stage, I wish then his character was like a little bit more engraved, or that
maybe there was some detail
that, like, we missed
where he was present, and like even the award she got or something, like maybe the name of the award or like the island she was found on. And then there's that whole part with like the cannibalism. Like, I wonder like what is the meaning of that?
Yeah, that episode was crazy.
Specific. Like... Yeah. So maybe he is the key to the kinds of kindness. Maybe he's that guy.
Mm.
Maybe.
But do you have, other than the runtime, was there anything else in the movie that stood out to you in a negative way, or like you said, it would, it's probably not better than Poor Things, but where would you rank it in like his catalog work?
Oh, so in his catalog, this is definitely not a mainstream one. I would say Poor Things is more of, it's more accessible to just like the everyday film watcher because of the overall theme of, like feminism and sexuality. So it's a little bit easier to grasp. I would say this is probably one of the hardest films for, as somebody who I'm a huge fan of his, it's a hard film to wrap your head around. But I think, like, for me, The Lobster is a film that I love, but I know a lot of people aren't the biggest fans of it because they feel the same way about it. It's a little too hard to wrap your head around and figure out what was the purpose of it. And honestly, I just feel like this is the ultimate Yorgos film because I don't think he cares if people walk away being changed or, like, walking away with an epiphany. He is out to make films that he loves and things that he's interested in watching and exploring. And I just think that that's like the what a great directing mentality to live in of like, you don't need to appease everybody.
Right.
But I would say it probably ranks in the middle for me just because I think he could have had a slightly stronger screenplay of connecting the dots a little bit more at the end. But also maybe it's one of those films that I need to watch like another two or three times in order to pick up on some more Easter eggs because he does love to do a quick little bit that connects the story a bit more. But Vinny, what do you think? Do you...
Yeah, I agree for the most part. I think pacing was, definitely dragged at moments. This is more on me. I wanted to see more of Hunter Schafer. I loved her performance in Euphoria, and she was in all the marketing. So I was, like, super excited. And then for her to only be in one scene, I was like, But also, yeah, I feel like just out of all of Yorgos's films, even in the, you know, even in The Lobster, which is kind of not as, like you said, as accessible to general audiences, like, I still relate. There's still, like, themes, and there's still, there's some, like, it's really dark, dry humor in The Lobster, but there's some really funny moments of just that. And with this, coming off of Poor Things, which also was a film that I very resonated with. I resonated with a lot of the characters, and I almost felt relatability, which is something that I think, you know, being emotionally connected to a story and cast of characters plays a big part on me and how much I enjoy a film.
Yeah.
And with this, I had a little bit of whiplash because Poor Things is very whimsy in presentation. And with this... You know, this is right after Poor Things. I thought there was going to be a little bit more whimsy. And there wasn't. It was more akin to The Lobster, which is completely fine. So I had to kind of slightly adjust with that. But then once my brain adjusted to that, I was kind of expecting more of like that dark humor. And there is dark humor throughout, but I think it's few and far between. Mm-hmm. And the moments that really latch onto you as an audience is just too far and few between for me to the point where I could be like, yes, this is a film that I really resonate with. However, I feel like now that I'm ranting, it sounds negative. I did enjoy the film. Like, I loved all the filmmaking, and I loved each, I really enjoyed each story, and I enjoyed going through the journey of these characters. I just thought there was going to be a little bit more stronger elements or stronger scenes to kind of dig my claws into. Maybe on a second watch I'll feel different, but that's my overall.
I feel like too with the narrative, like Poor Things too is such a visual representation as well as a narrative one with her character. And in this one it's like very dialogue. You have to have your ears perked up to understand what's going on. So you're kind of like informed mostly by the dialogue and what is being presented, you know, like I don't know, I guess the environment in Poor Things is so dominant that it tells you a lot without understanding even the scene so much, but you can understand like the hurdles she has to overcome. And then in The Lobster and Kinds of Kindness, it's just, it's reliant off of trying to understand those characters. But then sometimes I get into movies like this and I'm like, I missed something before, or I didn't hear what they said, and then I'm catching up a little bit because of the dialogue was important, or you know, I just didn't connect the dots yet. So you have to like sit up in your chair a little bit more than like Poor Things. And neither one of those movies are popcorn movies, but you know, like you can at least like enjoy the spectacle of Poor Things as well as understanding the complexity. This one is very complex, very character driven, and you're not going to come out of it understanding everything 100%. I don't think I do in Poor Things 100% either, but I feel like I'm way further along than three different stories of like 10 different characters, principal characters. So then it's like a whole nother layer. So I guess, you know, what we're also saying is we're not asking for a cookie cutter narrative. Like we're not asking for a Hallmark movie here. We're just asking for, I guess, a little bit more of the linear detail to get an understanding, I guess. And then the runtime is like, you know, we just wish that they trimmed a little bit of fat and then in like gave us a little bit of an understanding, closure, I guess, to the character.
Yeah, it's like we don't need the perfect like bow and ribbon at the end of it, but I just want to see like the string that connects the three stories together. That's literally the only complaint though. Other than that, like this film, I wasn't bored. There literally was never a moment that I was like, oh, I don't feel like watching this. It's shocking. There's a lot of scenes that I was even like, oh my God, like, this is aggressive. But that's also just his films. Like this one, gruesome wise, really was almost on the same level as this Killing of a Sacred Deer. For anybody that's seen that one. And I would almost say that this film takes it up one more notch just because Killing of the Sacred Deer has more of an isolated gruesome incident, while this one, it kind of keeps happening every like 30 minutes. You see something very jarring happen.
I really like you kind of piggybacking off of that statement. I enjoyed each of these parts. I really did. And a testament to films like this is you guys brought up the idea of rabbit holes. What I do love about these films, and I like I said, maybe on a second watch of this, I still haven't dived into the rabbit hole of Kinds of Kindness as of yet.
Yeah.
But for a testament of these type of films, like once you do dive into it, it just like, and it just like the film grows with you as a person, and it gets better and better the more you think about it.
Yeah,
I feel like I haven't entered that vortex yet, but once you do, it is a magical feeling. So I do want to see more films like this in the future.
I do think also he is becoming so great with his like sound. What did you guys think that the sound was prominent or was it annoying? Because I noticed it.
Do you mean like music or like
score wise?
I don't think it was like annoying necessarily. I guess
like the piano.
The trill of like the piano. When like the jarring stuff.
Well, because like I feel like Poor Things score was very like influential on the film too. But when I try to think of his earlier films, it doesn't resonate with me as much like the scores. So I feel like he's starting to be like, okay, I got the story, I got the cinematography down. Let's now start playing with the elements of like score plus like set and just overall like the art department kind of his films. Like especially after coming off of The Favorite and Poor Things, like those are huge period pieces. I feel like he's now flexing himself in a great way of saying like, I'm gonna appreciate these other departments rather than just focusing on like directing and the camera.
And it's good too, like I mean for him to put this out right after Poor Things too, it was a smart move to do something in a lesser scale of, I mean, Poor Things is so large and vast, like, but he really does he the testament to his filmmaking ability is that he is so focused on the script and making good characters mm-hmm. and flipping it on the audience. So kind of what you were saying too, Vinny, like the rabbit holes are like, this is an art film, I guess, because we don't have full closure. We there are interpretations of this movie. There are details that people will always get perspectives on. And like, I think that's another beautiful thing about like why film is an art medium and like why you need to have souls behind these kind of things is like, there are so many different types of movies. Like no other director could have made this film in this style as effectively. They could have done the three act character piece, different thing, but like this mold is so synonymous with Yorgos and it fits his character. So it's just like, it's the pairing of a director, their style, the type of genre, their script, like it's all these things. And that's why he's such a brilliant auteur of this time. You know, he's just so influential with how and confident in his abilities that it's very singular. Like, I'm not going to see another guy like Yorgos. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see other people. Like, he's probably stolen a little bit from other people in the past, but he is very definitive himself. So I like that. And I like films for this reason. Like, I'm okay with not knowing everything. I'll go back. I'll figure out a little bit more. But The Lobster, still, I don't know everything about The Lobster, but I kind of like it like that. You know, yeah. Like, there are pieces of it. You don't have to sit back and enjoy a movie every time. Like, I like those challenging things. And that's why it's like an art form. It's the interpretation behind it. It's not just the straight hero gets the girl in the end and the villain, yeah. That kind of stuff. So it's fun in that way. But yeah, just wrapping up too, like, what are your scores? Like, we talked a lot about the movie, pros and cons. So let's go into scores. Liz, you're up.
I haven't even thought of my score yet, but okay. I'm just going to go with my first instinct. I really appreciate this film. He stuck with what he's good with. It's definitely not a boring film. It's definitely a Yorgos film. It's not my favorite of his. Other ones I definitely would score higher, but I'm going to give this one a solid 8.
Okay. That's a good score. Yeah. Vinny, how about you? Ooh,
I think I might be the lowest.
Oh!
Yeah. I think it's a good film. I think I really enjoyed it. But sticking to my gut,
okay.
I just feel a strong 7 out of 10.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's fair. Yeah.
I'm gonna go. All right, I'm gonna go with 9. Okay, and
you were gonna have highest.
I walked out. I had a similar feeling. I was like, you know, like kind of like an 8 and stuff. You know, I pulled out my letterbox right away. You know, but no, I didn't. But I probably did. And I was like, you know, it was the same thing. I was like, I wanted a little bit of connection. I wanted this and like everything we're talking about. And then I just thought about it more and I was like, look, like he did something different. The polarizing, like opposite approach that he did of Poor Things right after this is really cool. And, you know, it's a 3-act structure. So I did have like little minute things here and there, and you know, some things I was like a little thrown by, like, you know, with some of the graphic stuff, but I still appreciated it for what it was, and I think it was just the sitting with me that I enjoyed it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But yeah, anybody have any final thoughts? No,
that's all I've got.
That's all we've got. All right. Well, I guess that concludes our episode of Kinds of Kindness here at Cinema Wave. If you haven't seen the film, we just told you the whole thing. So go check out the movie. Go check out more of Yorgos' work. And be sure to stay tuned for more of what we're bringing to Culture Wave. We got a lot of great content. We just put up the episode of The Bear Season 3. We got a lot of awesome movies coming out in July. We're really excited about this kind of stuff and what Culture Wave is working on. So be sure to follow us on Instagram at Cinema Wave Media and _ Culture Wave Media, as well as Jersey's Finest Pod. And then also subscribe to our YouTube, and you can find us all over the place, even on TikTok too. Okay, so follow us, subscribe to us, and we will see you next time.
This is The Culture.